Hi, this is Lynn Free, and welcome to our Monday night conference call simulcast on BBS Radio and our telephone line. And those of you that have been checking in regularly know that I always introduce this, or often introduce this, as an experiment in interdimensional communication and connection. And I say it's an experiment because we're talking about connecting with realms that we can't see with our physical bodies. And the goal is, every time we do one of these conference calls, is to make that connection, not only to make the connection, but to create a reference point so that by coming into these calls regularly, you start to recognize the frequency that you can connect with what I would call positive service to other group energies that are trying to help us, are open to assisting us, but we have to know they're there, and we have to know how to ask for their help because they don't violate free will. And so we'll be talking more about that in just a moment. I want to get some of the people that are checking in. Every time you hear a beep, it means somebody's checking in on the conference line number, if you're one of those who are listening on PBS Radio. So I believe we have Mary Jo, Suzanne, Marianne, Emmy, Wayne, Anna, Robin, Jean, Lisa, Robert, and who else is on there that hasn't said hello that would like to just say their name in the city?
Hey, Wayne, it's Rick in New York.
Hey, Rick.
How are you?
Yeah. And who else is on there?
This is Aaliyah from Missouri.
Hi, Aaliyah.
Hello.
And who else?
Kathy from Tennessee.
Okay. And who else?
Ron Miller from Laverne, California.
Hi, Ron.
Hi there.
Is Francoise in the background?
No, she had a meeting tonight.
Okay. And who else? Going once. Going twice.
This is Robert from Cleveland Heights, and we have a thunderstorm here.
Robert, I hear your thunderstorm.
Yeah, so I might not hang on to the phone, but anyway, we need the rain.
You know what? It sounds very relaxing, man.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Very good.
Okay, there goes Robert's thunderstorm. And I hope your roof isn't leaking, Robert. And who just came on? Would you like to say your name and your city? Okay. It's okay if you don't say anything.
There are 15 participants in the conference.
Okay, so those of you that are on BBS just heard how many people we have on our telephone line. And so we're talking about interdimensional communication and, of course, a whole new way of looking at the way the other side works and connects with this side, and that the way God, what we've called God throughout our history, works. And there is a bird coming in. Would you like to say your name and your city, please? Okay.
Maya.
Hi, Maya. Is that your bird in the background?
Yeah, I usually have one crow talking to me. Today is two.
Crow day. Okay, great. Okay, so I'm going to mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
So, you know, if we're going to connect with other dimensions, and I mean, not to do this as an intellectual exercise, but to actually do it, you need some kind of visualization or something to think about how that feels. And I believe many of you who have been checking into our line have had some kind of experience that validates that that's taking place. When you're in the physical realm and you're in a physical body, you have no real equipment in your body to tune into other dimensions. And one way of looking at other dimensions, one way of looking at it is looking at other timelines. In other words, where you are right now, your physical body exists in a timeline, which we could call third dimension, which is based on a 24-hour day, and you can sit and watch your clock go around, and all of us are going to have the same experience of the same clock going at the same speed. Now, other dimensions operate in different timelines where time moves at different speed than this dimension. And that means that right where you are right now, you can have other timelines right next to you. In fact, everyone does all the time, except most people are closed to the experience of these timelines. In these timelines, they're parallel realities that have beings in them, and they go on ad infinitum. And of course, no one can be a total expert on how that works because we can't analyze it and see it. But this is just to give your intuitions an idea that all these timelines go to the place where time stops and there's no time. And if you're at the place where time stops, you are now sitting in the center of creation. Now, part of a human exists in a physical body, and there's a part of a human that exists in this matrix of timelines, except we can't even see the part of ourselves that's in the matrix. And most people can't see the beings in that matrix. But some people can tune in and to them, how can I say it, their communication, that the beings on the high side of the matrix that we work with have been able to communicate to us through certain individuals that are very highly tuned and able to connect with the frequency like a radio receiver, or the timeline that those intelligences exist, and then that person can volunteer and allow those intelligences to give us messages where we've asked many, many questions. And, of course, if you're tuning in for the first time, I would suggest you go to conversationswithmygirlfriend.com and look up the history of this, look up some of the messages. We also have a free ebook right now called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which has an ongoing set of conversations on a group energy that identify themselves as the creative force behind the beginning of the physical universe. And so in that particular book, I ask many questions and kind of test them. And they came up doing really well. And in fact, everyone that's on the call regularly knows that in 2002, I had this miracle of healing with my sister where I asked them to help her and her lupus disappeared. And those of you who've been checking into the line regularly recently know that there's two people that have recorded rather miraculous events. One of them was a woman who was on our grid healing on Sunday who had breast cancer, and I put it in the light, and 6 weeks later she went to the hospital and there was no breast cancer. Another woman had some problem with her foot that was keeping her from walking, and she put it in the light, and the next morning, for the first time, something changed. And these are real testimonials that I am like watching and saying, geez, I think maybe what we're doing is working, because when you're talking to a voice that's talking, that you can't see, and you're trying to understand who they are, you are having to decide, can you trust them? Is there a benefit to this? And I believe that we are having a very accurate description of how these energies work, and that there are two energies that we have thought of as God. One of them is made up of graduates of this realm, and one is made up of beings that never came into this realm. And that those people who have been on this line regularly have been making their own connection and are feeling those energies in their space. One of the ways to make a connection is to go somewhere where those energies are present, where these beings are present, and to feel the energy in that circumstance. Because now you have a reference point of how it feels to make the connection. And keep in mind, they are in another timeline that's right next to you. It's not far away. It's not like out there. It's close in. But you need to tune into the frequency of that timeline, or else you can't receive it. So part of what we're doing on this, on these calls, is to create that frequency, and that for those of you that are somewhat sensitive, that keep checking in, many of you have learned to feel the energy of that frequency. And, you know, when you look in the world, I remember there was a teacher I had years ago that talked about magnetic light and what he called Holy Spirit light. And magnetic light, it's all very tricky down here in a body because we're trying to figure out what can we trust, what can't we trust, what comes from the higher realms, what is an imposter, what's masquerading. And, of course, I always tell people when they check me out, please don't believe me. Check me out, read the stories, and draw your own conclusions. Because if I happen to be from a negative realm, if that was happened to be true, then I wouldn't tell you, would I? So, nor will anyone else. They're not going to say, hi, we're from the negative zone. They're going to look positive, and you have to learn to use your own scrutiny and your own discernment to figure out what's what. And there's been many, many things that we've presented, especially in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. There's a whole couple pages on how to distinguish what's negative and what's positive. Now, when we look at the negative, or when we look at service to self, one of the things to realize is that all of us are negative. All of us have imperfections. It's impossible to be in a body without having negative. And one of the problems of this is that the tendency of people is to judge their own negative side and think it's wrong. And from my experience, that is not the best attitude towards dealing with the negative. 1 week, fairly recently, we asked a question to Matthew about dealing with the shadow, which is what you could call your negative side, and how to eliminate it. And Matthew's source said the way to eliminate the negative was to turn off the light. The way to eliminate the shadow was to turn off the light. So in other words, the fact that we exist is a testimony to the presence of negativity, and that there's a purpose and function to our existence, and we don't have to judge or make pretend that we can eliminate our negative side through our willpower. In fact, what Matthew said was the best way to deal with it is turn towards the light. In other words, do light-filled actions. Do things which create contribution and service, at which point you're not bound by your negatives anymore, or less and less. Even though it's there, you can notice it, it doesn't stop you from doing what's positive. Now, there's a human tendency, including my own, which I can share, including the two people that channel so often here, is that none of us are good enough to do this, or that when I finally get over this or that or the other thing, I'll be able to do this. And, you know, I would bet that every one of you has a higher way of expressing your mission, and you probably even know what it is, and you're waiting to get over something before you do it. And, you might try leaning into it and seeing what happens. Sticking your foot in your mouth occasionally. I mean, when I started doing these things every Monday, I can say that I hate commitments. I said, I really don't want to commit to every Monday. I want to do it when I do it. What happens if I'm having a bad day? And in fact, even today, I thought I was having a bad day. I was working all day yesterday, packing up Daphne's things in Sedona, loading up a trailer, and walking around so exhausted and driving that I can't keep my eyes open. And I say, oh, my God, I can't do the conference call tonight. That thought, I knew I would do it, of course, but that thought went through my mind. But I said, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to be on it. And my experience has been, no matter how I am feeling, when I step into the realm where the light is needed, something shifts inside me, and things start happening that I could not plan, that I could not premeditate, and I go with it. And I've watched that never, ever, ever to fail. Ever. Well, okay, one time it failed. I'll tell you what it was. When I was a kid, I took piano lessons, and I had to give a recital for elementary school, and I picked a piece that was too hard for me, and I had never done that piece well at home, and I went up in front of the room, and I played that piece, and I totally screwed it up, okay? And the woman who was the regular piano teacher for the auditorium, who was sitting next to me, kind of patting me on the shoulder, trying to get me confident, and I said, I'm never going to play music in front of people again after that. So, you know, I think when something has a certain talent involved with it, make sure you're, you know, if you're going to do it in front of the public, that you've got your chops together and you've at least done that at home. But otherwise, of course, this doesn't take talent. This just takes putting one foot in front of the other and saying, if I open my mouth, the right thing might come out. And so far, it's been okay. It seems like it keeps coming out okay. So I say this because obviously I am very human, just as you are, and that there are things that, as you each look at your own problems and your own shadows and your own challenges, to be able to ask yourself, what would be a turning towards the light that would actually make me not worry about how inadequate I am or how unready I am, but actually do something to make some kind of contribution somewhere of a light nature. And, I mean, it could be very simple things like phoning somebody up that you haven't heard from in a long time that you know will be happy to hear from you, and that when you call them, you actually shift their energy, and that shifts your energy. It could be going down to the, I used to do this years ago, going down to a convalescent home, and I used to play music for people there. But some people I know have gone in and let them dictate letters that they mail out, or just chat with them and bring their cell phones and see if there's anyone they want to talk to and make phone calls. And believe me, doing those simple things can teach you how to overcome your shadow and turn for the light, turn towards the light. And I know that there's many people that are listening on this call that are doing that and that are doing it consistently, and you're not noticed. I'm sharing this for the people that are thinking, what do I do next? And another thing, in the context of our call, there are things that you can do that no one else is doing to make a contribution to what we're doing. And figure out what it is, or call Suzanne or Kathy, or me, you know. There's so many little things that are left undone that could be major contributions. You know, you never know what little thing you do is going to cause someone to totally change their life. And sometimes it happens, and you don't even know it happens until months or years later. I tell the story of years ago, I used to sell sunglasses at fairs, and part of my mission was to save the homeless. And I used to round up all the homeless people that were outside my warehouse and drive them to a fair, not all of them, two or three, let's say, that I was working with, that I thought had potential. And I remember I went to this one event, and this one guy was totally difficult. I said, what am I doing this? And I will never work with this guy again. Then a year later, I happened to be taking a bus because my car broke down. And this guy got on the bus, sat next to me, and was just saying, Wynn, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking me out that day. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I saw how easy it was to sell to people, so now I have a business selling watches door to door. And he opened up this case with all these watches in it. And, you know, he's probably still doing it. And that one little thing changed his life. So you never know when you're putting energy out and putting positive things out. You can't look for the immediate response. It's oftentimes the major transformations and contributions you make, you will never know about, or if you do, it'll be many months later. And part of the work we're doing here on this call, I know there's effects that are happening that I never hear about until, if I do, till a long time later, but I've seen enough things come back that way that I know that we're creating something that's really valuable for other people. And so, on that note, we're talking about interdimensional communication, and we're talking about beings that live in exist in timelines which are right next to you right now, beings that can affect your vibrational field, and you can sense their presence by the energy around you. Because everyone senses the presence differently. And let me just say, when I talk about this, we are only talking about positive service to other intelligences operating in the Christ of energy. And another way of saying operating in the Christ of energy would be operating in the law of one, i.e., in this hologram, where we've all subdivided, ultimately, we're all part of each other. We're separate, and we're all part of each other. And what we could call service to self intelligences don't operate as if they're part of each other. And that means they can use you. They don't care, because they are not seeing you as part of themselves. An intelligence that sees you as an extension of them can't hurt you. If they truly are seeing you that way, they can't hurt you because you're them, and they will feel that. And that's true in physical bodies too. People that are compassionate, people that feel oneness, people that connect in oneness can't hurt other people because they are experiencing that everyone is part of themselves. So here we have these multitude of beings that are in other timelines all around us. And then, you know, as I talk about them, some of you feel the shift in your space, and you feel a changing of your vibration. And that's one of the indications that they're actually present with you. And as they're working with you, they can do things like move into your body and heal things. They can be your friend. You ask them for something, like a healing for someone or help in some area. And they can actually do this. I know they were talking about lubricating relationships. In other words, if we're all one, when we have a difficult relationship with someone, then sometimes they can lubricate or make positive strings between you and the person you're having difficulty with so that the relationship changes. Now, they can't violate free will. So if the other person is really, really fixed on holding that negative pattern, it's not going to change. But oftentimes people, you know, run a pattern that's just a bad habit, and they keep running it and running it until finally they don't know how to get out of it. But if it's the inner intent of both people to get out of it, that's where calling on these sources can help, because they can come in at a very high level and create a energetic string, positive energetic string, that's beyond the level of the difficulty or problem, and help resolve it. So, of course, oftentimes on these Monday night calls, we actually have a conversation and talk with some of these beings, and Daphne is sitting next to me, and she's agreed to allow them to come through her, gives her permission to do that. And of course, there's things that they say that are just within the scope of wisdom, and then there's other things which are beyond wisdom. They're specific pieces of data that can't be validated so quickly by the conscious mind. For example, the idea that we're at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, the idea that there's a division of souls coming up, the idea that they're here to help us lift our vibrations and open our own energies to the higher realms so that we can participate at our best advantage in this upcoming, I won't say upcoming, we're in the middle of it, dimensional shift. And that one of the ongoing bits of communication concerns this. And we've had a number of different beings. We have the Ra group. We have Ra'an, who's a member of the Ra group. We've had Ptah, who's also a member of the Ra group, as I understand it. We've had the Elohim. We've had the Council of An. And we've also had different angelic forces, which I believe are part of the Elohim, communicate with us. And essentially all with the same message, and all giving us different slants on how we can connect. And some people will have affinity with one frequency more than another. So as you listen, you'll hear different frequencies from week to week. Wednesday night, of course, we have the Matthew call. So you can just find where your own resonance is and use that as your frequency for upliftment and for holding a homing signal from outside of this dimension. So, let me see here. It is 6:31, and we have another 20 minutes before, at least on BS Radio. So let me do a calling in of the light and just say, for those of you who are listening on BBS, and if you're listening for the first time, I suggest, if you want to open up to this experience of feeling interdimensional vibrations, then give this your full attention. Stop the background noise. Go into a room where you're not being disturbed by others. Sit down in a relaxed posture. And while you're listening to the words, notice the space around you. Because this is the leap we're taking, that these energies can impact you in your space in a positive way if you open up. Now, they will not violate your free will, so if the idea of this scares you, then just know that they're not going to bother you, and you can just listen to their words and hear it mentally. They're not going to move into your space until you want that experience. And to want that experience, you have to trust who's talking. So there's nothing wrong with, at first listen, to say, okay, I want to see if I trust this being or this intelligence, or and don't invite them into your physical space until you come to that conclusion, and know that they won't come either until you desire that as a result. So on that note, I'm going to call in the light, and this is our way of invoking a group consciousness. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy, through the center of our universe, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, for those who free-willingly choose to do so, we invoke a group energy. We invoke a blending of our energies, our invisible energies that are in this veil of higher dimensions, for the period of this call, and that we ask those positive sources that we have been communicating with, that have identified themselves as the Elohim group and the Ra group, to join our energies, to be with us, and we create a protected field of energy that only positive service to other intelligences can penetrate. And that we ask that each of you only receive this energy in as much as it is safe for your own system to handle it. And on that note, I'm going to leave an empty space, and I'm going to move my microphone over to Daphne, and we'll see what source has a message for us this evening.
Greetings, dear ones, on this warm day. We speak to you from the high desert of Nevada and the Colorado River. This is Ra'an of the Galactic Council, of the Federation of those overseeing transmutation and transportation and evolution of human souls from third density into the law of one, into the law of compassion, into the law of the heart. We speak today of allowing, flow, of jumping into the stream, into the life force, into the river, so to speak, of energetic current stemming forth now in very amplified frequency and volume and amperage from what you know as the galactic center and beyond the galactic center. For your solar system, your galaxy itself is spiraling in evolutionary episode of proportion and magnitude, which is unparalleled. You have all clamored to be here for this event, even though it might seem unlikely or difficult or a hard time to be alive. And it can be all of these things. We would liken it to a cyclone. Where is the safest place to be in a cyclone? Physically and psychologically. It is in the center or the eye of the storm. Because when you are centered within yourself, within your high self, within your own anchoredness to Mother Earth, to your body, to your heart, and to the galactic resonance, which is your I am self, nothing, no matter how intense, can destabilize you or throw you or blow you off course. These would include environmental factors, emotional factors, intellectual considerations. All of these are not if one is firmly at the center. Think of a disc spinning at several thousand, several hundred thousand, million, billions of RPMs. This is an image which may be useful for you to hold. As soon as you lose this center, the frequency and intensity of the changes now occurring on the Earth are of such proportion that you will most likely experience tremendous distress or discomfort. It is simply a message to you to go back into center. What is center? Center is acceptance. Total acceptance of first yourself. When you totally accept yourself, every flaw, every idiosyncrasy, every discoloration, every disease, every disfigurement, every disillusionment, when you can totally be at one and accepting of these things, they no longer have control over you, and you no longer become reactionary towards them. There is no longer a dialectic, a dichotomy, a push-pull set up. What you resist, as the old adage goes, persists. So do not resist that which is your dross, that which you are learning to transmute. You have come here to learn to master these things. That's why outward comparisons of yourself with others in other circumstances and situations is damaging, because you are never seeing the entire tapestry of another being's evolutionary path. You are only seeing one thread. You have not seen the lifetime or many lifetimes or hundreds of lifetimes which has prepared and brought them to that singular time and space and point with which you find yourself sitting, observing, and possibly judging yourself or them. So we would ask you, acceptance, work on this one. Work to neutralize your responses to episodes, to circumstances, to people that ordinarily or who ordinarily would be upsetting for you. This does not mean one is to have no boundaries. There is a very careful balance. And the balance is to know oneself. It is similar to the invocation done at the beginning of this call, whereby it was asked that only those energies which may safely be handled by the system, by the entity at this time, be brought into the space for evolutionary assistance of that individual. To bring in more than that at once is to overtax a circuit, so to speak, and to cause a fuse to break or to blow or a wire to melt down or a system to malfunction. Or in the case of a human being, sickness, death, psychosis may even result. We say this not to frighten you, but to simply know that you are dealing here with energies the magnitude of which you have no reference points for in your physical world, save when you look at the wonders of nature. A bolt of lightning, for example, or an epic wildfire consuming hundreds of thousands of acres. These are the forces, the magnitude of the forces with which you are dealing. So we go back now to the task, the topic at hand, which is flow. When one can release judgment of oneself, a miraculous thing happens. One releases judgments of others and separations. And rather than fear pervading the systemic perception, compassion replaces it. And one is able to put oneself in the shoes of the other and do so in a sincere, empathetic way. Not the way of feeling sorry or pitying. This is still a separation. But rather a simpatico, a feeling of, I can feel that person's situation, I can feel that person's pain. When this happens, healing begins for yourself, for your own systemic conditions, and for everyone whose life you walk into and touch, be it physical or over distance. And this is the beginning, the true beginning of this term, which is used quite a lot, the term flow. Because it means that you become fully present in situations and are not leaving for yourself in reserve other parts of yourself, the fear parts, the just-in-case parts, the well, what if this doesn't work out part. And again, do not judge yourself for having those either. It is an ingredient of the root, the survival mechanism, which you are learning to master and to trust in so that you may operate from a Christed consciousness. You are moving as a species from survival, competition, to thriving, cooperation, compassion, complementary coexistence, an honoring of the rainbow assortment of all talents and abilities and non-talents and abilities, and seeing the usefulness and perfection in the entire spectrum. This is our message to you this evening. As the river flows, the rapids go. It is time to let go of the bank and to trust that you will be held aloft by the waves, by the rapids. Om Shanti. Peace. Om.
Let's take a few seconds of silence. If you happen to be listening on BBS Radio and you're listening for the first time, we have an ongoing series of conference calls that connect with these energies in different ways and that offer you a kind of rainbow spectrum of learning how to feel the energies and the communications from other realms. And you can find out more about this by going to the website higher-vision.org. And in particular, send an email to Suzanne, whose email is on that website, who will keep you informed of all the calls we're doing. On Wednesday nights, we have a call with Matthew Edwards where you can actually formulate questions and they will be answered. On Sunday mornings, we have a grid healing, and there's all kinds of other things happening during the week, which the main purpose is to create a steady reference point. And if you happen to be in the place where that would be of benefit to you, where you're in a world that's going topsy-turvy and you want something to grab hold on to, you may find it on these conference calls. On that note, we're going to say good night to our BBS listeners. Thank you, Don and Seth. And we'll go through those of you who are on the line and just put things in the light that are your concerns. So just a moment while we disconnect from BBS. Good night again.